from the WGXE Newsroom. This is the WGXE Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Edward McKinley reports in the Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo defended himself May 13th against allegations that he made inappropriate sexual advances towards 8 women by saying that, and I quote, "harassment is not making someone feel uncomfortable. That is not harassment. If I just made you feel uncomfortable, that is not harassment. That is you feeling uncomfortable," end quote. The newspaper quotes several experts who disputed Cuomo's comment. John Bailey, an Albany employee attorney, said, and I quote, "certainly the statement the governor made, if that's the law, I mean, there's no sexual harassment. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder," end quote. Deborah Katz, the lawyer for Charlotte Bennett, one of the women who accused the governor of sexual harassment, said that, and I quote, "for someone who signed a law defining sexual harassment in New York State and who claims to have taken the state's mandated sexual harassment training every year, despite Ms. Bennett seeing someone else take it on his behalf, Governor Cuomo continues to show an alarming degree of ignorance about what constitutes sexual harassment," end quote. Cuomo also said this during a news conference in the Bronx on May 13th, and I quote, "I never said anything I believed was inappropriate. You could leave this press conference and say, oh, the governor harassed me. You can say that. I would say I never said anything that I believed was inappropriate. I never meant to make you feel that way. You may hear it that way. You may interpret it that way. And I respect that. And I apologize to you if I said something you think was offensive," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Natasha Vaughn is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Recruiting material for the white nationalist hate group Patriot Front was found in Palatine Park in Germantown May 12th. It has since been removed. A total of 4 such stickers or flyers have been found in Columbia County in recent months. Local activist Michael Richardson said, and I quote, "this is an anti-Semitic group," end quote. He added, and I quote, "at a different time, Patriot Front would be the KKK. They are anti-Semitic, they are anti-Catholic, they're white nationalists," end quote. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Patriot Front is a white nationalist hate group that formed in the aftermath of the August 2017 Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. The organization broke off from Vanguard America, a neo-Nazi group that participated in the Charlottesville demonstration. Patriot Front is the most active of the white nationalist groups to use the dissemination of flyers, banners, and stickers as a recruitment tool, with more than 3,500 incidents reported in 2019 and 2020. Richardson said similar flyers or stickers have also been found in the villages of Chatham and Philmont. Richard runs the website Hate Watch Report, a tool for receiving and reporting news about hate or extremist groups and informing the public about them. Germantown Supervisor Robert Bury said the sticker was removed and destroyed by a maintenance crew when they saw it. Bury said, and I quote, "it must have been put up in the evening, and the very next morning it was taken down," end quote. The supervisor said it disturbed him that this kind of thing could happen in any community and that it has no place in civilized society. He said, and I quote, "free speech does not mean you can incite violence with hate," end quote. According to Richardson, Patriot Front has a strong presence in Warwick, Orange County, and New Rochelle, Westchester County. He said he was surprised to see the materials this far north. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Nick Greisman is reporting for State of Politics. Attorney General Letitia James, in a statement May 13th, warned businesses against price gouging at the gas pump after the Colonial Pipeline was shut down for several days following a major hack of the company. State law bars sellers of fuel and other necessary goods from excessively increasing prices during a market disruption, including supply shortages, as a way to generate a windfall profit. The pipeline is back online, but delivery is not expected to return to full capacity for several days. The hack caused some temporary supply issues in parts of the economy that led to panic buying. James said, and I quote, "To be clear, the price gouging of fuel in New York State will not be tolerated for a moment. If our office sees profiteers taking advantage of consumers by boosting prices to excess levels, we will not hesitate to take legal action," end quote. The average price of a gallon of gas in upstate New York and suburban counties remains around or below $3 and just above $3 in New York City as of early Thursday, May 13th, according to GasBuddy.com. And you can read the full story at NYStateOfPolitics.com. Raymond Pignon is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Voters in the Cairo Durham School District will be asked to approve a $32.2 million budget proposal for the 2021-22 school year, as well as a proposition to spend $665,000 on five new 65-passenger buses and one new Chevy Suburban for the district's bus fleet on Tuesday, May 18th. The budget proposal includes a 4.45% increase in the tax levy, the maximum allowable under state law. Five candidates are competing to fill four open seats on the Board of Education. Three of the available seats carry three-year terms. The winner of the fourth seat will serve a one-year term. The candidates are Tanya Fricke, Carolyn Miller, and incumbents Brian Coletti, Elizabeth Daly, and Christopher O'Connell. Fricke grew up in Accra and now lives in Round Top with her family. She is a part-time lecturer at the College of Emergency Preparedness, Homeland Security, and Cybersecurity at the University of Albany. She was formerly employed as a teacher with the Taconic Hills and Germantown school districts. Miller has lived in the district since 2009. She is a lifetime Greene County resident and has two children. Miller is an assistant principal of the Children's Home in Kingston. She is the former interim assistant principal of Cairo Durham Middle High School. Coletti has lived with his family in Cairo for 26 years. He is a bookkeeper for a large dental practice in Ulster County and is also employed as a real property mold assessor. Coletti is the vice president of the Cairo Durham Board and a member of the board's audit committee. Daly is the mother of three children. She has worked in public education for 28 years as a school counselor and has served on the Cairo Durham Board of Education since 2012. Christopher O'Connell is a lifelong resident of the district. He lives with his family in Cairo. He is a high school history teacher and has taught 23 years. O'Connell has served on the Cairo Durham Board for 6 years. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, May 14th. Hey, it looks like we're finally out of the 30s in the early morning temperature range. We got 44 in Halcott Center and 47 in Ankrum. We get up to 74 degrees today with a light breeze. Should be very nice. Overnight it reaches down to 44 degrees before bouncing back to 75 tomorrow. Another night in the mid-40s takes us to a Sunday with a high of 74 and a likelihood of rain in the afternoon with possible thunder. Pollen levels for today and tomorrow will be very high. Sunday it dips a little into medium territory. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 5:06 a.m., low tide at 12:14 p.m., high tide again at 6:01 p.m., low tide again at 11:57 p.m. Keep in mind, if you're hearing this replayed on the weekend, those times will be off. Today's river temperature will be 59 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:52 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:32 a.m. Looking way up, we see an incoming solar wind is due to strike on Monday. Solar wind speed is currently 389 kilometers per second at 4.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently poor. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 24. And this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
take 2 eyes to make a pair. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to episode 2 of Black Excellence. I'm your host, Professor Shaw. I also have 2 other guests today. One of them is sitting right next to me, and his name is...
Professor Dixon, you know what's up.
So, Professor Dixon, we have another guest, which is on here. Well, we did have another guest, but sadly, his thing messed up a little bit. His name was DJ. Professor Popcorn. Oh, yeah. We apologize. So that, you feel me, was your little intro song. Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud. So, that was our song, I'm black and I'm proud. How did you feel about that? What's your definition of, you know, our little academy of, you feel me, Black Excellence? Like, what would you say we stand for?
We stand for Black Excellence. Like, we try to focus on kind of things that schools won't teach you, feel me? Like, we kind of stand for equality. We stand for pride and being black. We stand for just a lot of things, like a lot of personal, like, relations to being black, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what would you say difference us from school?
First of all, school would never play that video right there.
No, that's true.
Let me see what else. Teachers tend to beat around the bush of the specific topic. Like, let's say you ask your teacher, why slavery happened. Let's say you just ask your teacher something around black people. For most, like, schools, they won't really tell you the exact answer. Sometimes they'll try to change the subject. Sometimes they'll try to give you a different... Not so dark.
Different aspect.
Ah, yes, yes, yes.
Facts.
Professor Popcorn.
Yeah. Right? With that, with playing XXXTentacion. What's up with you, bro?
Nah, it's good. It's good, though. But, we're happy to have you back.
Hold on. You asked me, what's the difference, right? So that's what school would do. We hit every subject that we feel is appropriate, you feel me?
And like important.
Important. For example, we got a Tupac, we got a Q-tip.
We got a Q-tip.
It's a video about Black Excellence. So I think we're gonna play that. And then get back to it, right?
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. I'm black and I'm proud.
You know, Black Excellence to me is just... It deals with spirit and soul. You know what I'm saying? It deals with, like, you know, being able to exhaust, you know, honestly. You know, sometimes the honesty is a little rough, but it's unapologetic, and it's something that you definitely, definitely feel. I think that is the centerpiece to me, to Black Excellence, because, you know, for the 20th century and surely probably into this century, a lot has been put on the value of man's mind. And, you know, the many achievements or inventions that man has done through study, through, you know, mental investigation, if you would, you know what I'm saying? But there's a lot to be said about spirit, some things that you just can't define, that an equation won't have an answer for, that your intelligence will hit an eventual ceiling, and then you have to rely on your true instinct and your true spin and on your spirit and on your intuition and your feeling. And I think intuition, spirit, and feeling is something that Black people thrive on. That's why we've survived here for so long, because of those things that are a lot of times they're intangible, something you can't really define or put words to, but it's a feeling. It's about faith. And I think that those things are like the nucleus of Black excellence.
No. That was Q-tip.
When I first said Q-tip, I know some of y'all was probably thinking
like the Q-tip.
Yeah,
the Q-tip.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I first heard about it.
That's what I first thought.
I was like, yeah, that's kind of weird, but that has nothing to do with Black excellence. But this is very important. What was your thoughts on the vid, bro?
It was great. I liked it. It expressed, like you said, Black excellence. The expression that he gave was very heartwarming, especially the way he explained it. I like the way he got across his points and his key details and stuff along those lines.
Mm-hmm. It was very
compelling.
I forgot what that word means. Compelling. Good choice of vocabulary,
thank you, bro. Thank you.
Okay.
So, but other than that, I can't really put my mind on it completely. You feel me? Because, like, it's a topic that I really like to get into. But it's harder than it's harder to explain than usual.
Facts. It's true.
The way he said it and the way he talked was so compelling to me. It just like it was so good. Like
compelling.
Like it felt so wholesome. And
wholesome.
Like, and it spoke to me.
Spoke to me. Alright, so what's up? We're about to put this Tupac video.
This
interview. Important of youth perspective. So yeah, it's a 30-minute video. We're gonna
rest in peace, Tupac. Now, mind you, this is Tupac. You feel me? When he was like, you know, younger.
We're gonna play. We can't play the whole thing because actually we can go an hour, can't we? So yeah, I mean we can play like 10, 20.
Yeah, good decent amount.
Pause here and there.
Yeah, talk about it.
Facts.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna get into it.
It's like 17 is such a weird age. It's such a in the middle age. You're not 18 yet and you're older than 16. So. But I like it. It's nice. It's like a learning stage for me.
Do you wish you could be 18 when you get some more rights?
Well, 18 will bring lots of responsibilities that I don't want, but it'll bring respect that I feel like that's the only way I can get it. You know, I try to be as mature as I can be and demand it wherever I can get it. But 18 is like, you're an adult. You like today when I had to sign the release form, I felt so bad because I couldn't sign it myself. I had to go and get my mother's and all that. But 18 is, it's just society's way of saying that you're ready. But 17, like I think I'm ready now, as ready as I'm gonna be in this world. But so it's okay. I guess 17 is all right.
Do you think that you should be given more responsibilities or that you have much more value than adults place on you because of your age?
Well, the way that my mother brought me up is no lies, no, you know, total truth. Everything is real in society, you know, everything. If something's going on wrong in the house, I know everything. So I was given the responsibility before I wanted it. And so now I can't really differentiate what great responsibility is because I've had it for so long. You know, she taught me how to be ready for it. And so that's good, and I think it's good because I know that, and it's taught me that when you get out there, the responsibility is staggering, and I'm ready. I'm going to be a little more ready than someone who's grown up in Disney World, you know, with Santa Claus is coming. And so, you know, I think I'm growing up good, as in all sense of the word. I think I'm growing up and learning about responsibilities and everything.
What do you think is the hardest thing about being a kid or being your age?
The hardest thing about being my age is proving to society that I understand what's going on. Like, we, not everybody, but frequently, teenagers are stereotyped in being loud music loving, girl chasing, car wanting, not caring about the world, coke heads, drinking coke and smoking and being drug addicts. And I mean.
No. I'm going to speak on this because, you feel me? Me being myself, I'm a teenager, I'm a 16. I get what he means, the concept of it and stuff. Because, like, just going back on it, I'm going to backtrack a little bit on what he just said. What Tupac just said. Mind you, respectfully, this is my first time really hearing Tupac besides, like, some of his music. I'm realizing how proper he speaks. And I like, because I never really heard his voice outside of music. And me being able to hear him like this, it's a new aspect for me. So I'm going to run back what he just said for y'all, like, just so y'all can listen.
And so, you know, I think I'm growing up good, as in all sense of the word. I think I'm growing up and learning about responsibilities and everything.
Now, like you said, he felt like he was growing up good and learning responsibilities. Yes, yes, yes. We all learn and gain responsibilities from a young age, some faster than others. Yes, that is true. But as a teenager, you never really know where to fall, because, as he said, people think, you know, he's a loudmouth kid. He's not an adult, but he's not a kid. He's a teen. He's getting up there in age pretty soon, but I mean, like, he's not there. As he said a little bit, society says if you're not 18 and you're younger, and they're gonna say you're not mature enough, or you're not smart enough, grown enough, anything among those lines. And what he said was, at 18, that's like, oh, you're adult, you're ready, you're matured. But me personally, you can still be mature even if you're not a full grown adult. I have little cousins that aren't even my age, and they're mad mature. They keep up with school, they keep up with their grades, the way they dress. Look, they're presentable. And now, to sometimes knowing that I'm facing that myself, and sooner or later, my little cousins, probably even to this day, right now, my young little cousins will face that, and probably do. Suck. So much. But I will let Tupac say what he wanted to. Say what he wanted to. That's what I will do right now, because I did want to backtrack on that.
What's the hardest thing about being a kid or being your age?
The hardest thing about being my age is proving to society that I understand what's going on. Like, we, not everybody, but frequently, teenagers are stereotyped in being loud music loving, girl chasing, car wanting, not caring about the world, coke heads, drinking coke and smoking and being drug addicts. And I mean, in some ways we are. I mean, I chase girls and want the car and loud music, but I like to think of myself as really being socially aware, and not just socially aware as being trendy, you know, being peace, not that. I really think that that teenagers, they got a lot of responsibilities and a lot of burdens, because, in fact, we're given a horrible world. We're given the gift that we're getting when we got to take over. It's horrible. They left us. They're leaving this world in bad shape for us to fix up. So I think that we deserve a lot of respect because, you know, in the 60s, they changed a lot in those teenage
years. My man's Tupac really said the 60s. No, we are not in the 60s, but we are in 2000s, 2021, feel me? 2021.
So, you ever wonder, right? You know what the 21st century is? You know how it's the 21st?
First century, yeah.
Right? But it's only in the, we're only in the 2000s, not the 2100s. So it's confusing. It can make you confused because, like, in 1999, we was in the 19th century, right? And then we got to the 2000 and we was in the 20th century. So now we're in the 21st century, but that don't even make sense.
Yeah, because there's no 21 in front of it. So it's not 2021.
Bro,
not
no.
21.
But a century is 100 years, though. So technically, it should be the 20th century still. And
that's
then,
true.
It just makes me mad confused. I don't know how it works.
But no, that is true. So, like Tupac said, we do hold a lot of responsibility, especially at the age of teenage. Because mm-hmm. if you think about it, right, you ever heard of the saying, you know, your parents put the building blocks for your future or something along those lines?
Kind of.
So, if we hold the future, right, in our hands and stuff, think about it. If our parent was, you know, not doing the greatest, not doing the best influence, right? Mm-hmm. That means we have to, I wouldn't say take responsibility for things that they did, but we would have to make them better. But then parents will say, you're just a kid or stay in kid's place.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you got to remember, especially if you're, like, among the age of, like, 17, 16.
You're basically an adult.
You're basically an adult, and a lot of people don't realize that, especially in society. Because they're like, bro, look, you're only 16. You're not 18. You're physically, you're not an adult. You can't do this, that, and the third. But then you think about it more.
They try to make you do a bunch of things, right?
Yes,
it's
right.
It's like, hold up, so if I'm a kid, why are you making me do all this extra
right,
stuff?
Right, that's true.
Adults?
But then you realize, You have certain things, but you're not fully adult. Society, truthfully, if you think about it, society does not think you're fully matured and you're adult until you're the age of 21. And that's so crazy to me, right? It's crazy how, like, society will really take those things, those core details about yourself, and just, like, not just break them down. Because I guess that's what society does. Makes you hard. And that's a lot of the reason why parents will, you know, give you tough love. Because it's like, your parents is preparing you for the future. Yeah. Because they're saying, you, the world is going to break you. Either the world is going to break you, make you, or destroy you. And I realize why, me personally, I'm black. So I realize black excellence, feel me? Oh, I realize why black parents, some of them don't really like to troll or show. I guess they're lovey-dovey side, you know what I mean? Because it's like, the world ain't going to show you kindness, fairness, equalness. Because think about it. Even in today's society, the world is still cold and as trash as it's been. We still have shootings. We still have gang violence. Gang violence and violence. Think about it. You hear how people say black on black violence, black on black crimes, right? It's not even like, okay, so when people say black on black violence and black on black crimes, no, it's just crime. Think about it. If a white person was to say it's crime on a white person, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna say it's just white on white crime, right? Have you ever heard of, I've never heard that.
Wait,
I've never
white on white crime.
I've never heard white on white crime.
I mean, I have on TV shows, like I was watching Ridiculousness, and there's a bunch of categories dedicated to it, but it wasn't
really
like, real.
So, right.
It wasn't actually, you don't see a bunch of white people.
Think of it. Like, you go to the street, right? You go outside. Mm-hmm. Two black people fighting. Mm-hmm. What do they call that?
Black on black violence.
Black on black violence, right? Now, switch it. You see two white people fighting. What do they call it?
A fight.
Right? Think of it. Why do people never say it's a white on white fight?
I mean, or people probably do, it's just not.
Have you ever heard it though?
Not really.
I've never heard that. Think about it. It's just crime. When people do crimes, it's crimes.
Hey, but they're looking at like the racial standpoint, yes, instead of the, you know, I guess just the logical.
It's just crime. Yeah, like that point. So that's another reason why I feel like black excellence is so important, because it's made to where you're like, okay, not hypnotized, but all the stuff you've been told and information that you want to know, mm-hmm, it's presented to you in like not a pile, but better way of explained. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's all I can really say about it.
Well, we got speaking of, you know, black influencers,
yeah,
black everything. I know a lot of people know the great Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rest in peace. The best boxer of all time, you know, feel me. Yeah. Don't got no video, but
do we not have a video?
Nope. We don't got nothing on them. But we do have we do have multiple of his famous quotes. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Mm. Ever heard of that one? Let me see. Hold up. My bad. He said, don't count the days, make the days count.
That's a good one.
He said he hated every minute of training, but he said, don't quit, suffer now, and live the rest of your life as a champion.
That's a good one.
Yeah, service.
I'm going to have to ask you to repeat that one.
What?
That last one you just said. That was a
right
good
now?
One.
I'm saying it again?
Yeah.
Well, I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit, suffer now, and live the rest of your life as a champion. He said, if you ever dream of beating me, you'd better wake up and apologize.
Man's said, a little bit cocky.
He said, it's hard to be humble when you're as great as I am. He said, he who is not courageous enough to take risks will accomplish nothing in life. He said, it's not bragging if you can't back it up.
Ooh,
he said, I am the greatest. I said that even before I knew I was.
That's different.
And he said, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Okay, let me see. He said, the man who has no imagination has no wings. And that was, you know, a bunch of his stuff. If you look at, well, it's Tupac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tupac quotes, you feel me? Most of his were, he said, for every dark night, there's a brighter day. Everybody's at war with different things. I'm at war with my own heart sometimes. That's relatable. Let me see. I got one more. Let me see. I don't have no fear of death. My only fear is coming back reincarnated. This is like,
I don't know what to say about that one.
You don't know what that means? You understand it?
I guess, but I don't.
He also said, I'd rather die like a man than live like a coward.
That's a good one. I want to understand that second to last one.
Wait,
a little bit more.
I don't have no fear of death. My only fear is coming back reincarnated.
Yeah, I got it at first, but then it got to the reincarnation.
I feel like that quote probably means like, he fears, like, you know, he was great at one point. He feels like he doesn't want to. Few fears.
Oh, he doesn't want to lose his greatness. Yeah,
he's having to start over a new life, and I guess that's my thing.
Makes sense.
Who knows? Maybe he was reincarnated. Who knows?
Could have been. We would never know.
Yeah.
My would say influencer. Mm-hmm. I would say Malcolm X. Mm-hmm. So what I'm gonna do, mind you, this is a little mixture between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. So I hope y'all enjoy this. So, yeah.
The white man pays Reverend Martin Luther King, subsidizes Reverend Martin Luther King, so that Reverend Martin Luther King can continue to teach the Negroes to be defenseless. That's what you mean by nonviolent. Be defenseless. Be defenseless in the face of one of the most cruel beasts that has ever taken the people into captivity. That's just the American white man. And they have proved it throughout the country by the police dogs and the police clubs. 100 years ago, they used to put on a white sheet and use a bloodhound against Negroes. Today, they have taken off the white sheet and put on police uniforms. They've traded in the bloodhounds for police dogs, and they're still doing the same thing. And just as Uncle Tom, back during slavery, used to keep the Negroes from resisting the bloodhound or resisting the Ku Klux Klan by teaching them to love their enemy or pray for those who use them despitefully. Today, Martin Luther King is just a 20th century or modern Uncle Tom or a religious Uncle Tom who is doing the same thing today to keep Negroes defenseless in the face of attack that Uncle Tom did on the plantation to keep those Negroes defenseless in the face of the attack of the Klan in that
day. I don't think of love as in this context as emotional bosh. I don't think of it as a weak force, but I think of love as something strong and that organizes itself into powerful direct action. Now, this is what I tried to teach in the struggle in the South, that we are not engaged in a struggle that means we sit down and do nothing. That there's a great deal of difference between non-resistance to evil and non-violent resistance. Non-resistance leaves you in a state of stagnant passivity and deadened complacency, wherein non-violent resistance means that you do resist in a very strong and determined manner. And I think some of the criticisms of non-violence, or some of the critics, fail to realize that we are talking about something very strong, and they confuse non-resistance with non-violence.
The goal of Dr. Martin Luther King is to give Negroes a chance to sit in a segregated restaurant beside the same white man who had brutalized them for 400 years. The goal of Dr. Martin Luther King is to get Negroes to forgive the people who have brutalized them for 400 years by lulling them to sleep and making them forgetting what those whites have done to them. But the masses of black people in America today don't go for what Martin Luther King is putting down. As you said in one of your articles, it's psychologically insecure, something of that sort. I forget how you put it. But you didn't endorse what Martin Luther King was doing yourself.
I do not reject his goals of full integration and full equality rights for American citizens. Do you reject these
goals? If you don't think that he's walking on the right road, I'm quite sure you don't agree that he'll get to the right place. And if you would classify his method as psychologically unrealistic, I think that if a man's method is psychologically unrealistic, which means the road or the means or the method that he's using, I think as a psychologist, you'd be very doubtful.
I don't think
that he would reach the right.
It's an ad, bro.
It's Now,
Ric Flair, Nature Boy, what's up?
Now, as the little things I wrote down, the little list I have. So we already talked about art influencers, right. So you just heard a little bit of my one influencer, Malcolm X. So far what we have, the last thing, one of the things I have written down for the first thing I want to talk about is how do they embody black excellence? How would you say your influence?
Embody, what does that mean? Like influence, black excellence?
Basically? Yeah. Like what would you say? Like I said earlier, building blocks. Yeah.
For me, Muhammad Ali, he kind of influenced black excellence by, you know, just being great. You feel me? Like he inspired kids, like being an inspiration, I feel like. You know, he always was talking about being great and how to, like, you know, if you ever heard the expression, you make 0% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
Basically, that was his message, feel me? He was trying to encourage kids to try.
Yeah.
And be like great.
Be the best they can.
Yeah.
So with me, I would say, I would probably put Martin Luther King a little bit above Malcolm X. The reason why I say that is because growing up, don't get me wrong, Malcolm X is a great influence. A great influence to black culture. So is Martin Luther King. But when it came to, I would say, different ways of peace,
they were two different sides of a coin. And I say this because with Martin Luther King, he wanted the blacks not to be violent. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
But with Malcolm X, it's not that. It was a little different from his perspective.
Yo, it was it. What do you mean?
What I mean by, like, different, just from this video, just alone so far, I've realized, him and Malcolm X had a little disagreement. How he said that Malcolm X said that Martin Luther King was basically Uncle Tom, and that he didn't want. Well, Malcolm X said that he didn't want the blacks to defend themselves. Well, Malcolm X didn't say that, but
it was kind of what he was being, basically. Like, yeah.
That's what he meant to say. That
he said it without saying it.
That's what he meant to say about Martin Luther King, because he said that he wanted peace. He didn't want them to fight.
So he was saying that Martin Luther King
didn't want them to fight whatsoever. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he didn't understand that the way that Martin Luther King fought racism back then was completely different from the way Malcolm X probably would have did it.
Yeah, facts.
But the reason why I say I would pick Martin Luther King a little bit over Malcolm X is because...
Speeches,
but then you gotta realize, at least when I was growing up, I didn't really like conflict whatsoever. I was all about, you feel me, positivity, right? Mm-hmm. I still am. And I could see where he was trying to go with his movement.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
And the only thing I can really say about school, and I don't like bringing up school really often.
It's on the weekend, like, come on, bro. It's the weekend, bro.
Like I was saying, the only thing I can really say about school is that they did shed some light on Martin Luther King. I'll give them that little bit of credit.
How do you feel like us, as like the Clubhouse Academy of Black Excellence, how do you feel like we treat each other?
I feel like we treat each other pretty good. It's legit just a family. Like, especially from the ones who's been here for a while.
OGs.
Including myself. You.
I'm not an OG. Don't put... Oh, I'm not.
I'm don't
not
put OG. You as an OG?
No. First of all, I kind of am. Like, I came first time. Like,
so you're an OG, but you're not an OG.
I'm a fake OG. Like, I'm like that Fortnite kid that played one game in season one and then called himself an OG.
Mm-mm.
You feel me?
But yeah, a couple of us. So the large majority of us, we some OGs. We came here for a good minute. Some of us, we've come and gone.
Yeah, some of us have come and gone, went to better places. I mean, not better places. Nah, that makes it sound like that makes it sound like they passed away.
Yeah, but I mean, like, they've gone to them better things. Yeah, different places to work, mm-hmm. like that. Providing stuff, and then there's some who stuck over, like Kyron is a true inspiration.
Inspiring.
Started everything.
So was KJ. Shout out the dog.
Woo. Now me including Phoebs is also an OG
gangster.
He has been here for so long. Not even funny. Between him and Kyron, this probably wouldn't be happening. He's in Black Excellence. And don't forget about Professor Popcorn. Now, sadly, he ain't here right now.
Yes, I don't think he would be joining
but
us.
But most
again
likely,
today.
He is probably listening.
Yes, I hope so.
Now, he also OG. Shout out to him.
Hello, my boys.
How do you feel like we treat like our art, like our the art we make, like drawing?
Now, before I answer that, how would you answer?
Answer what?
How do you think we would treat our art? Like, how do you think we treat the art?
Equipment?
Yeah, like equipment, art, each other.
Personally, we treat it fairly well. We could you know, there's always going to be those areas where we could do more for.
Yeah, like done things more, better.
Make it look better. We're working on that. We're working on it. But we do a lot to keep it fairly decent looking.
Yeah.
Fairly, you know, make sure the equipment is still usable. Yeah, it's not like mint condition everything that you've just
but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Work what we got.
Now, what would you say that was about? Equipment, right?
What?
Right, that was about equipment.
Yeah. And then so, we got the treat how we treat the art we make, like our like not just us, but like our fellow workers. Like,
yeah.
How do you feel
fellow peer leaders? Yeah.
Peer leaders, staff members.
Say we treat that very well. Like even we have art here that we look at every day. Me personally, there's this one art piece that we have.
Explain it, man. I'm trying
so
to figure
there's
out
this one
about.
Art piece that we have in our quarters or living area. So every time I see it, I'm just like, we did that. And mind you, this is like what over the summer.
So, like when we get the artworks stuff.
No, like okay. So you know the living room, right? The little mural like says clubhouse.
The living room like there with the TV.
The big TV. Yeah.
Next to the kitchen.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So every time I look, and I'm just like, dang, we did that. Now were you? No, I don't think you were.
Let's say it, bro.
Were you with us?
When?
When we first did that mural.
Nope, that was during when COVID was like strong, and I was only going to Elliott Park. So,
So this was during the summer and stuff. We were still going good and strong with our artwork. We could do better. Still is.
We got Up Next Project. Feel me? Shout out her.
Who did that mural? Shout out to her, you feel me?
She has very strong creativity. Yeah, she's very creative, very enthusiastic with her work.
How would you say we treat each other?
We treat each other with respect, feel me? There's gonna be those times where, you know, we goof around, you know, we say, oh, bro, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we a family, feel me? We get along, we work with each other, we got each other's back, you know that. So I feel like we treat each other on a respectful work level. And to be fair, you, DJ, Professor Shaw, and Professor Popcorn. Y'all like basically brothers for me.
We knew each other from that long.
Been chilling since kind of late last year, but feel me, we still been getting close. We're chilling. So I feel like we treat each other with a lot of respect.
Kind of made
a brotherhood.
Yeah, right.
All honesty.
This past little couple, like what month, week? Probably months.
Yeah, a couple months.
So, we gonna bring pretty close brotherhood, like he said, bond, great bond. Mm-hmm. And another one of my brothers, DJ Popcorn. Oh, I did it myself, Professor Popcorn.
Yeah, Professor Popcorn.
We known each other for that long. And if I would have never met him, I would have never met you.
In fact, I remember first day, you was when we were first. We weren't even peer leaders yet.
I was doing music or something.
He was in here, and I came in, and I was like, "Yo, who is this newbie right here?" And I came in, saw you on the computer. I'm thinking you were random. I'm like, yo, who's this?
I'm like, bro, this man thinking I'm a random. I'm like, bro, I ain't no random. You feel me? I've been here for a minute.
And Professor Popcorn was like, "Yo, that's, you know, Professor Shaw. He been here for a minute." Okay. Dang, what I been missing out on? What Kobe do?
Man said I wasn't here for a minute. I'm back now. What happened? Like,
that's crazy.
Time move, time fly.
Like, change with the quickness on me.
Right? Crazy how time flies.
Exactly. Speaking of time flying.
Time flying right now.
45-minute podcast. You know the vibes. Right. Okay. Let me see. So let me ask you how do you feel like Clubhouse Academy of Black Excellence is going to be successful for longer than a couple weeks, couple months?
Most definitely. Okay. I say that because just a little progress we made so far. This is our second show. I'm very confident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got the experience with the radio show.
If it wasn't for like the experience just with the radio show, engineering, talking, being able to like even talk a lot.
Because radio show, I mean, not only radio show, but all kind of speaking things take, you know, they take getting used to. Like, you can't just, I mean, unless you're like a natural speaker that just love to talk, like me sometimes, you can't just hop on radio and just start talking.
But like, I never done this before.
It's like, oh, yeah, I'm perfect.
Knowing what to do.
Because there's guidelines you got to follow. And plus, me, I have recently did this, the sound engineer process. Like, I went through that kind of training. And that's like, when you first hear a sound engineer and see what they do, you look at the computer and you're like, I'm never touching that ever in my life. And then you look at it and you get it explained to you and you're like, really? Wow, this is kind of easy.
Really? I was the total opposite. So with me, a little backstory. When I first seen this, I was like, dang, it low-key kind of look easy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this too easy. Mm-hmm. So then I tried it. I'm like, this is a lot harder than I thought, but it's easy to me. But with sound,
hosting,
it was a different experience.
Hosting,
for me.
It's like different because you gotta come up with questions.
I gotta
keep
introduction. Going.
It's a whole shout out. You gotta remember a bunch of stuff. Right. It's not just like you're gonna talk and then just end it. You gotta.
Right, I'm thinking you talk about random stuff. Like, nah, I did it. I was like, you gotta do way more.
Pronounce the right names. Right? Come in at the right times with sound break. I mean,
everything.
Music breaks,
and if you don't do that, then the sound engineer can't do his job.
Exactly.
And I
it's
realize
a bad
that.
Show. That's what makes a bad show.
You gotta work together when you do stuff like that. And it's
teamwork makes
moments.
A dream work.
Nah, for real. And moments like this is moments I really like and I cherish. Cause like, equal footing, you feel me? Like, you won.
What we take is dubs, feel me? I think that's really much everything we had to cover, right?
Is it?
What we got? You want to finish? Want to watch some more of the Tupac video?
I guess, yeah, we could.
Hey, I mean, hey, it's up to you.
Let Tupac play out?
Professor, yeah, play out till the end. That's what you want to do? Or
yeah,
just,
Tupac different for me.
All right. We're going to end y'all off on a Tupac little interview.
Man, it's about to hit 3.
What's up?
Let y'all little do this thing.
But I didn't teach him this. I didn't teach him that. Where did he learn it? Look at unsafe sex and drugs. You could tell if you look at the statistics, they're staggering again, you know. And so I think they're scared because they're realizing that they goofed, they really messed up. And also, they fear teenagers are angry. At least this generation seems a little angrier to me and a little bit more rebellious and uninvolved. So they're scared because they're realizing that, you know, what's gonna happen when we get all these people in power? But also just because it's human nature to be scared to watch a child grow up, and you don't want to give him that yet.
Well, what do you see as some of the major differences between being a kid and being an adult?
I was funny. Being a kid, like my little cousin, Hiroji, he's 3, and everything to him is happy. The only thing that makes him unhappy is when things are over, when you turn something off and when the television goes off, when it's time to go to bed, or when he has to come in the house. Everything is over. That's bad, you know. And when you're an adult, when something is over, that's like, it's the opposite, you know. When it's over, it's good, you know. I'm off work, it's over, you know, vacation, it's over. God, she's out of the house. My children in college is over. Oh, my God. And so it's that difference. And children see things so great. If the world can... What happens is that adults complicate things, and children don't. As simple as this. The sky is blue. And adults want to go, the sky is blue. Why is it blue? Because birds and bees and... everything wasn't meant to be analyzed. And that's where a lot of problems came in, I think. And that's where... I think kids are happier. Kids are definitely happier and more relaxed than adults.
Do you think if parents or adults had happier childhoods, they would be better off when they grow up? I mean, like, a lot of people say if you have a troubled childhood, you lack self-esteem when you grow up.
No, actually, I think it's, well, okay, my mother, from my mother's point, well, if you grew up happy, too happy, you know, like in fairy tale land, not fairy tale, I mean, if you grew up where, you know, every Christmas you got a present and every birthday you got a present and every holiday was a holiday and everything was peachy, if your parents took care of everything and you just grew up, I don't think that prepares you for the world. You know, my mother had a really bad childhood and my father had a bad childhood and I had a bad childhood, but I love my childhood. Even though it was bad, I love it. I feel like it's taught me so much and I feel like nothing can faze me. You know, nothing in this world, nothing can surprise me. It might set me back, but only momentarily, only to spring back. And I think it's helped me to learn. It really did help me to learn. And since my mother had a bad childhood, she knows the importance of being honest and the importance of facing each situation as it comes and not dealing in the fairy tale land, being realistic about the problem and analyzing it and solving it, see what you can do to solve it. So if you have a happy childhood, you tend to want your child to have a happy childhood, so you tend to want to keep the bad things out, and I don't think that's good because you don't prepare them for the world.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Diane Pinero Zucker is reporting in the Daily Freeman. Superintendent Kirk Reinhart said Socrates High School teacher Hope Antonelli is being reassigned pending the outcome of an investigation into an assignment she gave students last week that was viewed by members of the community as racist. Reinhart said in a statement posted on the Socrates School website, and I quote, "The district is investigating allegations of an inappropriate journaling assignment at the high school level," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "The district takes allegations of this nature very seriously and wishes to emphasize that there are existing procedures under its Dignity for All Students Act policy or to bring to the district's attention any issues of this nature." Reinhart's statement does not provide specifics, such as where Antonelli was reassigned, or explain the nature of her current responsibilities. On Tuesday, Socrates Town Board member John Schoonmaker, two candidates for town board, and some parents demand that Antonelli be fired for structuring a writing exercise around the idea that George Floyd's death was not caused by Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin's actions. Antonelli asserted instead that Floyd died from a heart attack and drug overdose. Reinhart said he could not discuss whether Antonelli might be fired because of the controversy or how difficult it might be to terminate the employment of a tenured union member of the faculty, other than to say, and I quote, "I am sure there is due process and protocol," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Emily Jacobs and Julie Grace Brufick are reporting for the New York Post. House Republicans approved U.S. Representative Elise Stefanik to the GOP's number three leadership position May 14, officially replacing U.S. Representative Liz Cheney, who was forced out earlier this week. Stefanik landed the position on a vote of 134-46 tally after receiving an endorsement from former President Donald Trump and without a serious challenger. Speaking to reporters following her win, Stefanik thanked the former president, and